And that's this verse is Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, help me out. Jesus got up. I like that part right there. Left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now let me do me a favor. Grab somebody by the hand. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in the house. We bless you. We give you glory. We adore you. There's none like you, God. There's none like you, God. Thank you for doing something special in the house today. So we give you praise. We give you glory. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Now give him your best praise. And you can take your seats in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God. Well, good morning and welcome again to you all. And we bless the Lord and we thank you all for worshiping with us today. I thank those that have been in prayer with us all week, both here at the facility and at home every day. And many of you all day have been interceding and praying and asking God to continue to do something special in our church, in our house, in our region, in our city, in our world. And prayer makes a difference. Can I get a good amen in this place? Prayer makes a difference. Last week, we talked about the privilege of prayer. In fact, the wonderful opportunity that we have to go to our Father in the Holy of Holies and not have to go through priests anymore, offer sacrifices like bulls and heifers and goats and turtle doves, but we could go to him not having to go through a priest, but we could go directly to him because the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom and we have access to the Holy of Holies. Jesus himself exemplifies what it's like to pray. In fact, so much the Bible says that he got up early in the morning before daylight, so he must have really been up early. And when he goes to pray, he got away from everybody because that same passage goes on to say that they were looking for him. They couldn't even find him. They had to look for him. Why? Because he was in a secluded place. He wanted to be by himself to get with the Father. And then after they heard him pray and they saw him pray, there was something that caused them to say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Man, they wanted to know, not just to pray because they've seen prayers before, but there's something about the way he prayed that changed everything. You know, can I maybe submit to you that one of the things that they saw when he prayed, that whatever he prayed came to pass? He saw results when he prayed. Many of us would, you know, want to see results when we pray. And if we see someone that's gaining results, they're going to say, man, teach me how to get results. Another thing that they saw something that they had never seen before, because most people, when they pray to like the God, and they pray to the thing, though this, but he was intimate with the Father. He called him Abba or Daddy God. And that's why sometimes when we're going through our motions, even when we're praying, I know God is probably saying, why are you being so formal? I'm serious. Because when my granddaughter came to me today, she came running to my arms, and which they usually do. I understand why. But she came saying, she said, Papa. And it wasn't like she said, well, Papa, I'm glad to see you today. Are y'all with me? If they came to me like that, I would think something is wrong. Because that's not normal for relatives to operate like that. And if God is our Father, we don't have to come to him in any religious format. Are you with me today? We can just say, Daddy God, I love you so much. Sometimes you can raise your arms too. I miss you. I'm glad to be in your presence. That's the kind of relationship that they witnessed and recognized when they saw him praying. And they recognized, too, that prayer was a priority and his presence was a priority. So I'm going to take just for a short subject is I want to talk to you about making prayer and his presence a priority. Say that with me. Making prayer and his presence a priority. I've learned that when I'm talking about priority, that means what comes first. And when I start my days out with prayer, and you can probably attest to it, things go better. I used to say things go better with Coke, but things go better with prayer. Can I get a witness? My days go better. My attitude is better. Hello in the house. My blood pressure and my health improves significantly when I pray continually. My relationships, man, Jita and I have not had one disagreement. She hasn't argued one time. I'm telling you, it's something about prayer that makes a difference. Can I get a witness in the house? My thought process is clear. My decision making is more godly. Why? Because I'm seeking him. And man, hallelujah. And there's something about that we are, the scripture says that refreshing comes from the presence of God. And if you want to be refreshed, you've got to get in the presence of God, and that has to be a priority. So let me say this, is that prayer, and this is my first point, just prayer should be our first priority and not our last resort. Amen. Why don't y'all say that with me? Prayer should be our first and not our last. How many of you all know that when we put God first and when we pray first, it makes a difference in how we move forward? Jesus is our example. He goes before God before he even starts his day. And many of us need to go before God more, and not just in the morning. That's a good start. But then you need to also tap in all day. Are you with me today? Thank you, Jesus. So that passage that blesses me over and over again, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Now, some of us don't even get up early, but Jesus got up early. How many of you all want to be like Jesus? Some say, I'm not an early morning person. And I get it. He'll meet you at whatever time you draw your attention to him. But Jesus got up early in the morning. And can I let you know that lately I've been getting up earlier, and I get up early anyway, both my wife and I. And the first thing on our agenda is, God, what do you want to do today? How do you want to use us today? My life belongs to you. No longer my own. You're Lord. You absolutely not just my Savior, but you're my Lord as well. And when we come to that place, it makes a huge difference. That's why when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, not after he said, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed will be thy name, giving him glory and praise for who he is and honoring his name. Then he says, he prayed God's agenda. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be, not my kingdom, but your kingdom come. Your will be done. In other words, the king's dominion, the king's reign, place of authority, your kingdom come. In other words, if you would translate that, it's like he's saying this, kingdom come, will be done. He's not asking. He is saying it. Your kingdom come, your will be done. In this church, we want to have the same attitude. God, your kingdom come. You rule, you reign, you have authority. Your will be done. Because all of us have will, and sometimes our will can get us in trouble. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. So he says, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven, on earth, just as it is in heaven. So I want us to, again, prayer should be our first priority. What would it take for you to make prayer your first? What would you have to change in order to prioritize prayer? I'm not asking you to say it, but you know what is prior, what's before prayer. If you listen to the news before you pray, if you check how many likes you have on Facebook before you pray,
or Instagram or Facebook. Or Tic Tac. I'm just saying, God wants prayer to be our first priority and not our last resort. Because why you say last resort? Because when people get in trouble, that's when they say, and then sometimes even the saints, well, we've done everything else, we might as well pray now. Come on, come on. How come we didn't pray first? Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians says this, 5:16 through 17, it says, rejoice always, pray continually. How often? So that looks like you having a communion and a fellowship with God all day. And I know some will say, Pastor, that's kind of hard. Well, if you keep your mind stayed on him, he's going to keep you in peace all day. And it is possible to think about him and to focus upon him on a daily basis. And I want to encourage you to continue to just start today, just keeping your mind on him, because it makes a tremendous difference. And when we don't pray and when we don't make prayer and his presence a priority, it's costly. It absolutely is. You said, Pastor, wow, got quiet on that. But let me say it again. When we don't make prayer and his presence a priority, it's costly. Let me share, since you got so quiet, said, well, explain that. I'm glad you asked. The Bible says we receive not, why? Oh, so we would be receiving some things if we would actually pray. But then he says you need to pray with the right motive, because even said, even then when you ask amiss, because you desire from your own lust. So we need to get our hearts right, so when we pray, we'll pray God's will and not our will. Are you with me today? So it's costly not to pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus was talking to Peter, his disciples, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he told them, hey, I want you all to pray here and wait here and pray. And he came back, and what were they doing? Man, something about prayer that'll put you to sleep. If you pray in the wrong way, maybe. Man, but I was not totally wrong, because you know, if you're gonna go to sleep, might as well go to sleep in the Lord's arms, right? Amen, amen. So they were asleep, and then he goes. He says, "Couldn't you pray? You know, at least 1 hour?" And he goes away, comes back, and guess what? They sleep again. And the spirit of El Shaddai was upon them. And he tells them something. And what he tells them blesses me. And he's talking to not disciples, not only disciples, but he calls Peter out specifically. He says, watch and pray that you don't fall or enter into temptation. What he is saying there, he is saying that if you pray, you won't be so, what's the word? You won't be so gullible to temptation. You won't be so susceptible, that's the word I'm looking for, to temptation. In other words, watch and pray that you don't fall or enter into temptation. How many of you all know that when you're not praying, you can easily fall into temptation? Man, when you're not praying, you can get in it. You'd be tempted to lie. Peter did. You're one of them. No, I'm not. Yes, I can tell by your voice. I can tell. It was a girl, too. It was a woman, the Bible says. And she said, man, you are one of them. Peter said, I told you. I wasn't one of them. And then he got in the flesh. Sometimes by not praying, we enter into a place that we don't have grace for. Because God has not ordained you to be in that place. And you weren't supposed to be there. I know this is, some of y'all are saying, wow. One more time, back to my point, just so we don't get off track. It's costly not to pray. It's costly not to pray. Last example on this one, moving on. There were, there's a passage in the book of I want to say Matthew, and it talks about when a man, there are evil spirits, and he has an evil spirit in a person's house, and it's talking about a person, but it actually uses an example of a home. And he says, when that evil spirit is cast out, he says the evil spirit leaves, but then it comes back looking for a place to rest. And then he goes on and says this, which really blows me away. And when they return to that particular house, he says they find it swept and clean and neat and unoccupied, vacant. And they bring back with it. You know, folks that don't pay no rent will bring neighbors and, I mean, friends with them. All of them will be stand up in your place rent free. The Bible says that one brings seven more with them because it's unoccupied. It's clean and swept. Follow this. Our spirits, because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, are never supposed to be vacant. Never. We should always have a prayer turning over in our hearts. We should always have a thank you, Jesus, somewhere. We should always have the Spirit of God. If we're listening to it sometimes, that's why I can't listen to everything. I got to have the Word of God. I've got to have something teaching me. I've got to have How Great Is Our God playing. Sometimes I go to sleep with, what's that Delaney boy's name, Todd? I want to hear some of that Word. I want to hear that. I don't want my spirit, my vessel to be empty. Because he says he brings back seven more. Why? Because it's empty. Why do you think Mary Magdalene was so on fire? She became a disciple. And I know I'm just kind of just teaching, so y'all just flow with me. So why do you think Mary Magdalene had to get to a place where she was in ministry? She was one of the disciples. And can you imagine having Mary Magdalene on your team? You know what the Bible says about her? It says, you know, Mary Magdalene, one of the disciples of Jesus, who he cast out seven demons. In other words, she used to be full of demons, but God set her free. And now she's no longer going to go back and just live any kind of way and be free. No, I'm going hard for you, God, all of me, not laying anything on the sideline. That's why when I gave my heart to God, it's all in. I'm not going back. I'm not picking up no more spirits. I'm preaching better than you, amen. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous going back to that place and being empty. You need to be all in. Somebody shouted, all in. That's what God is calling for in this last day. Are you with me today? I understand why my brothers that have gotten off of drugs, they're not playing around. The one that got off of that used to be an alcoholic. They're not playing around with that. No, we're going hard because we don't want it to be worse than it was the first time. Woo! So let me take this further one more time. When we don't make prayer and His presence our priority, it's costly. And let me give an example of that. In the scriptures, according to Luke, the 10th chapter, and about the 38th verse, it says, "And Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home." She bawling. She got her own crib. "And her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, and she was listening to what he taught." They're two sisters, but very, very different in their personalities, if you will, very different. And the Bible says, "But Martha was distracted by," and this is NLT, "by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister is just sitting here while I'm doing all the work? Tell her to come and help me.'" Man, if I see this so vividly in my mind, because I see so many Marthas, and letting you know, Martha is not the bad person. Please don't get it twisted. You need someone to serve. You need someone to serve, because after 30 years, You know, I can think of all the things that God has blessed us to do, and we've been serving the community. And there's been a lot of things. So give the people that have the Martha spirit, give them a hand. Come on. You need servants. Martha knew Jesus. You know, not just an acquaintance, but she knew him and she knew him fairly well. Knew him well enough that when her brother Lazarus died, her and Mary had the conversation. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. They sent word to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, before he came, you know, he said, well, I'm going to stay here a couple more days to make sure he was good and dead. Man, you need friends like that, right? And then when he got there, they began the conversation of, you know, about if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And then, you know, they hurt, some other things taking place. Jesus, knowing what he was going to do all the time, the Bible says Jesus wept. And you've learned the scripture now that you can know Jesus wept. And some thought he was they said, well, look at him. He's sad because his friend Lazarus died. But that was not why he wept. He wept because of the unbelief of his people. Unbelief. You mean to tell me you've been walking with me all this time and you don't know that I can raise the dead? You've been walking with me all this time, and you don't know that whatever your physical situation is, your thing in your body is going on, you don't know that I can heal you, I can deliver you. I'm God in the flesh. You don't understand who I am? Then he opened his mouth and says, Lazarus, come forth. Man, Lazarus had to get up out the grave. Who wouldn't want someone like this at the dinner table? So she's hooking it up. She's preparing a meal for him. And her sister's sitting at Jesus' feet. And I'm bad for this. I'll tell people, hey, we're going to, you know, I'll tell Chita at the last minute. Chita, guess what? We're having company over for dinner today. And man, oh man, if you want to make them pray in the spirit. Yeah, buddy, I'm going to be okay. And guess what I'm doing? I'm sitting down talking. I'm chilling. I'm like, what's going on? Man, oh man. Somebody's got to do the work. Understanding that culture, women did not have the opportunity to talk to men and have business type or even those type of discussions. They were to be, based upon the culture, they were to be in the kitchen taking care of business there. They really were. And I'm not saying that I feel that way. I'm just saying that that's the way it was then. Well. But this is a new day. This is a new day. I remember when I went over to the Middle East and Jita was there and we were there walking down the streets and women walked behind the men. They did. That was some years ago. I don't know if they've gotten, you know, I better move on. Let me move on. So Mary was sitting and listening, and then Martha got to the point to where she says, something ain't right here. Something seemed like something. I'm doing the work all by myself, you know. And then she was distracted because she had so much stuff going on, all these things going on. And then not only does she have all these things going on, if she says, it seems like this ain't fair because I invited him. And Mary was probably saying, well, you fix it because I didn't invite him. You invited him. It's your house. And then Martha says, you know, since I'm not getting anywhere with her, let me go to Jesus. And then she says in the 40th verse, you know, she says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you? Have any of you all been in one of those situations that just seemed unfair? It don't seem fair, God, that I'm doing all this. Some of y'all have the unfair thing going on this week. You know, it just don't seem fair that I have to do this, this, and this. I'm all by myself. I'm doing the work all by myself. Tell my sister to get off her. No, I mean, you didn't say it like that. Tell my sister to come and help me. And here's what I think about this, is that This is actually a microcosm of the church today. It's America. It's New York. It's Chicago. It's Spring Patch. You know, we're running here, running there. Got this to do, that to do. Dropping this one off to this practice, that one to that practice. This dance session, this going on here, and we're gonna go. Got to plan vacation. Got to go study. Got to tutor. Got this going on, and we are just distracted. Even in the church, we become distracted. And the Lord says that my house should be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it something else. You've got to go back and get back on track. You're distracted. Are y'all with me today? When I see all the things that we're doing, let me talk about, even so you know I'm not talking about anybody, but I fit the category, you know, because and you're doing good things. You know, when we took on our first project and, you know, housed a group of people and housed another group of people and then became budgets and became maintenance. It's one thing to build it, but it's another thing to preserve it and maintain it. And all these things and boards and credit union. And you heard the testimony about how it came to pass, but then after it comes to pass, you still got to maintain it. You prayed for these children, and now you've got them. Now you got to pray. Help me out. And sometimes they can distract you. Whew. You prayed for a house with a big yard. Now you got to cut the grass. All that goes along with it. It's not bad, but it can be a distraction. It can be a distraction. So I just want to challenge you that look at what Jesus says. He said, tell her to come help me. 41st verse. But transition here, it says, the Lord said to her, dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. You're worried, upset. Today it would be like your blood pressure's up. You need medication. You can't sleep. You're all shook up and worried about many things. But there's a problem with that, because all these details aren't really why I came to see you. Sometimes we judge a service based upon everything went according to the way we wanted it. He didn't come to pick every little thing about the service out. He just wants us to be in his presence and give him the attention. Are you with me today? Somebody bless him real big in this house. So I wrote these things down. Distracted was one of the first things. We're distracted about what has to be done. Over and over again, we are distracted about what has to be done. This has to be done, that has to be done. Can I let you know, after 30 years of ministry, there's just as many things I have to do now than when I started 30 years ago, if not more. There's more. So therefore, that you all are all shook up about what has to be done, can I let you know, if something were to happen to me today, guess what? Somebody else would preach next Sunday. Look, some of y'all getting too happy about that.
Yeah, I hear you. Who's going to be?
Sometimes I wonder what they were so distracted doing in the first century. You know, you don't have cars and don't have garages and all this stuff. What were you doing, Mary, that made dinner so tough? But some of us can take a small thing and turn it into something so deep. And sometimes you end up doing too much. Distracted means I'm unable to give full attention to because I'm preoccupied with something else. You ever been in front of somebody and you were like saying, hey, earth, earth, earth to whoever you are. Earth, earth to Jerry Wayne. Earth, where are you? You know, and you say, well, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about that. We can easily become preoccupied with texting, even texting while we're driving. Shaving while we're driving, putting on makeup while we're, and now you know that's a distraction. Hello, some of y'all got quiet in the putting on makeup section while I'm driving. Even focusing on the wreck that was across the way, you looking at the wreck and you about to crash. Or fellas, girl watching. Yeah, I knew y'all get quiet on that. Ohio Players used to have a song that says, running folks in the ditches with your skin tight britches. Skin tight. Y'all been saved most of y'all's life. Not only was she distracted, but she was worried. Worried about what has to be done. And if you look at all the things that have to be done, you're going to be worried and shook up, especially if you think you've got to do it, upset, and your vitals are going to be changing. I mean, your whole body will be in fight or flight situation. And some of you all, if you stop worrying, your health would spring forth. If you would cast your cares upon the Lord, things would change in your life. I believe that. They've linked stress and cancer because they say, for whatever reason, stress breaks down the immune system of the body and you can't fight off what you normally could fight off. You need to stop fighting and start casting your cares upon God. I'm preaching better than you, amen, but that's okay. I'm almost done. You say, Pastor, you're usually done. Like, so let me wrap this up. I know I sang the first part of my message. I understand. Oh, I tried to sing. Jazz sang. Yeah. So let me share this. The last thing she did was complained about who's not helping. If that doesn't sound like today, if this one would do that, why don't they do that? Man, when you stand before God, all he wants you to do is what he called you to do. That's it. Some of us are too worried about what Mary's not doing. Now, I got to flip this. Look at Mary. She's on the flip side. One is distracted. That's Martha. Mary is so focused. She's focused. Distraction, same house, same dinner party, distracted. One is focused on the most important thing. One is distracted. The other is focused. Now you come to another one and she's worried. What if all this doesn't happen? What if it doesn't show up right? What if this is gonna, what if this is not on? Da, 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 da. And the other, man, she is so chilled. Same environment, chilled. Chilled. Like that, okay. And then lastly, one is running her mouth. Complaining. You all know some folks like that. Hopefully they don't live in your house. I'm doing it all by myself. I'm washing, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning it. All you do is come here. Woo, Jesus. And the other one, Mary's quiet, not complaining, looking. And then they tell Jesus on her, and Jesus says, she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. I'm not going to tell. She's chosen the best part. I'm not going to take that from her. I'm not going to take it from her. You know what? The Lord has spoke to me while I was sharing in the message, and I'm not through. I'm going to close, though. Just so I make sure I close, why don't you stand on your feet? Come on, give God one praise before I bring this thing to close. So, in the same environment, the same setting, one person can be all shook up and the other person have peace that flows like a river. Thank you, God. I want to challenge you today that if you've been that Martha, and understand Martha's saved too. I believe it without a shadow of a doubt. No doubt about it. And most of the time, all of us have a Martha moment. I don't care how deep you look. I've had many Martha moments. just to be truthful with you, had a Martha moment this morning. This didn't go like we wanted. They couldn't find the batteries. They called me at the house. Hey, you got the batteries? No, I don't have the batteries. Other things took place. Well, what's happening over here? How many of you all know you can take something small and blow it up? Before you know, you're like, ah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then you have to say, okay, God, let me bring it back. Let me be still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me quiet myself and focus on the only thing that matters. Let me get in your presence. Let me pray. Let me talk to you. And I love this about him that, and this is what I want you to take home with you. Make God your highest priority. Say it with me. Make God your highest priority. Moses said it like this. He said, God, you know, I'm in your presence. He's talking to God, praying. In the presence of God, he says, God, if you don't go, I ain't going. But if you go, if your presence goes, I'll go. Because if his presence is there, everything else works out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give me one good praise in the house. Hallelujah. Slow down just 1 minute. Do you all know that one of God's love languages is quality time? Let's say it one more time. Do you all know that one of God's love languages is quality time? Why didn't he tell Mary, get up and help? No. It's a quality time moment. And in order to have quality time, you got to put down some things. Some people need to put down a cell phone, stop gossiping, stop thinking about Golden Corral. It'll be there later on. Stop thinking about who didn't do you right, whining and complaining. He wants your attention. Come here, just one minute. I'll tell you, I just know that I sang part of my message, so that's why I didn't have a few minutes. One day, she was in the midst of something, and I didn't understand it. And I was like, how, you know, when you got a lot of things to do, and you really are half listening? You ever been in a conversation where the person that you were talking to was half listening? And you could tell they wasn't all the way there. And plus she was like saying, honey, I need you to pay attention to me. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. She grabbed my face like this and says, pulled it toward me and said, I need you to pay attention even if it don't make sense. And now men, I'm thinking to myself, why am I paying attention to somebody if it don't make sense? The thing is, it's not about the, if you will, being, what's the word? Logical, that's the word. It's about your presence and your presence being all the way there, locked in and giving me your attention. I believe God today is saying, I want your attention. You're looking all around and over here and over there, and I want your attention. You need to focus on me. All this other stuff gonna pass anyway. I'm the only one that matters. One thing matters, and Mary has chosen the best part. Let's choose the best part today.